Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Truth or Hair Podcast. This is episode 6. Hi, everyone. I'm Tina Tesh.
And I'm Martin Tesh.
Hope everybody had an awesome Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Ours was very relaxing.
Yep. Very nice. Got Dallas Cowboys won. Yeah. That's my favorite part of Thanksgiving is watching football all day. And then I made some really good food for Tina.
Yes. Martin's a great cook. It was fabulous.
Who gets their own custom-made pumpkin pie?
It was so good. Thank
you. Special for you.
I know. You guys, if you know me, you know I love pumpkin pie.
Loves it.
So this is our 6th episode, and this one's about standards. So what is your salon brand or your stylist brand or your salon suite brand? Ours, for example, is right now, today, 2023, moving forward. When we bring stylists into our place of business, what is the first thing we look for? Kindness.
Kindness, okay.
Kindness first, because if a person is kind during the interviewing process, you know that they're going to be kind in the workplace.
Well, yeah, and we're also in the people business, so if a person's like personable and they're a people person, then you know that's a good thing.
Exactly.
Right?
Because I feel like pre-pandemic, a lot of salon owners and stylists, I felt like we dealt with a lot of drama, toxicity in salons, including myself. And now I feel like I love our industry more and more every day because I get on social media. I see all these like new salons opening. I see all these new stylists that are up and coming that aren't going to tolerate that. This is like, because I've been a stylist for 25 years. I grew up in that where whatever the salon owner said or did, you would do, and you wouldn't even ask questions. I have been in toxic salons where it wasn't healthy. I dealt with it. So this podcast is about you. It's about if you're in a salon and you're not happy or you have a toxic leader, why are you still there? Did you guys better yourself this year is the question.
Yep.
So what are your standards? That's what we're going to talk about in this podcast.
So by standards, what does that mean?
So standards, like each...
What does that mean to you? Like so
when I first opened, this is my second brand, my new brand. And we've opened it in August of 2021.
And let me say something. Your standards have evolved over the years because the things you did back then, you aren't doing now.
Yes.
So this goes to people listening. Whatever standards you have now, they may... Hopefully they do continue to get better and evolve, and it ends up all just kind of working out in the end.
Yes. Yes. Because there's no written book to really how to like run a business or open a business. When I moved to California, I was 28 years old. I mean, and sitting here today talking to you guys, I'm like a different person from then to today.
Yeah. I mean, that was 20 years ago.
Yes.
Changed so much. Like every decade you change
a
lot.
Yes. I can tell you, I have no fear. I like ran out to the depths of the ocean and just like got like, what is it called? The white water, the whitewash.
Yeah, the whitewash.
You know, I've been through it, and I'm here to tell you just basically what I have gone through. Been a stylist for over 20 years and a salon owner now for over 20 years. And I want to talk about standards. So when I opened my salon back in my second salon brand, the first one I sold after 17 years, so when I opened this new brand, I made a list of what I will not allow, like my bandwidth of what I am not going to tolerate. And there's things you're going to go through as a salon owner, a stylist in a salon. It's a given to wake up every day and think, oh, it's going to be a happy, perfect salon environment is unrealistic. There are things that are going to happen. There's things that are going to happen among teammates, amongst clients. But at the end, it's the one word I look for with bringing people onto my team. And that one word is
kindness.
Got to have kindness. And I can pick that up from the moment I meet them during the interviewing process.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come in to our salon or your salon, if they have that trait, you know they're going to be a good team member. But I think pre-pandemic, we were hiring, people were hiring just to hire because it was money.
Well, they're hiring out of fear.
Yes. They need to pay their bills. They need to, well, I can pay my rent. I need to do, they had, so therefore that's where all the toxicity comes into salons. Mm-hmm. Where they're not.
Because you're lowering your standards.
Yes, you're lowering your standards.
You're lowering your, what you like to call brand.
Yes.
But it's like standards. You're lowering your standards.
Yes.
And you're bringing in people that you normally wouldn't.
Yes, for all
for money.
For money.
Just for money.
Yes. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do that anymore. If you work on your current culture, if you work on taking the time to bring in the right stylist to your team, your salon will thrive. Clients will feel it. Yeah. Your teammates will feel it. Everybody will be happier. It's just going to just like just go through the entire salon.
So you work on quality first and then the money will come.
Yes.
Not money first and then quality.
So if you're a salon owner right now and you're dealing with not a good stylist, and let's talk about that. What would make not a good stylist? What would be a stylist that's in your salon right now?
Someone's like selfish
and
messy. Like what else?
Yeah. What else that would not be aligned with who you are? Cause you want to hire people that are aligned with you. So like Martin said, okay, selfish.
Yeah. Sloppy.
Not considerate of the salon space.
Yeah. Loud.
Not considerate of the other tenants that are renting space in the salon. Their teammates, stylists, just bad attitude, not showing up for their clients, not doing good work, bullying the other stylists, bullying the salon owner.
Yeah. I think people that are like, kind of like, oh, it's not my job to do that or do this. Like they don't ever want to go that kind of the extra mile in there to.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps everybody.
Yeah.
If everybody pitched in, then it would be great for everybody.
And we know that there's a lot of stylists out there that are in these salons, and the owners take it. They take it because they don't have any other options because they need that money. And then the stylist, they're held hostage, and the owners are allowing this. And meanwhile, it's like rotting through the entire salon.
Yeah.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I have been there. I have had a salon like that. And you don't know it's like that until you have all these people and you're like, whoa.
They kind of all dump it on you at one time, like so-and-so's this and so-and-so's that. And then you're like, wow, I had no idea this was going on.
I had no idea this was going on. And then,
it's too late by then.
Yeah. And then you have to go up to that person and like, hey, look, this is happening. Or this is, I see this happening. I'm hearing this and I'm seeing this. And you know that is truly happening. But what do you do? You have two options. Option one, you let them go, or option two, you keep them and hope they change.
Yeah, I mean, I think option two is better because you can work with people and tell them what's going on and what's being said and what's being done, and then you leave the ball in their court for them to correct it or, I'm leaving, blah, blah, blah. And then guess what? Wherever you go, that's where you are. You're still the same person. You still have the same problems. Other people are going to have the same problems. So you might as well work on yourself. Look into yourself and take a deep dive into yourself and correct those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
My opinion.
No, exactly.
I believe in giving people like second chances.
No, absolutely. So what happens when you talk to that person and then it still continues on? I've had that happen in my previous salons year over year over year. And then they do good. And then they
go back to what they
were
doing.
And then they go back to that again. That's where you got to be like, hey.
Yeah. You're like, hey, we had this talk before. And now we're back here again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just not a good fit.
So any stylist that you allow inside your business is an extension of your brand.
Yep.
They remember that.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're independent contractors and they're renting a space, but when they get, like, if people leave a review of that person, it usually says like what salon they work at. And that is absolutely a reflection on your business.
Yeah. So what I was saying earlier, like the pre-pandemic, I felt like we dealt with a lot as owners and stylists. But now, post-pandemic, very serious. The cost of running a business has never been so expensive to run more than ever right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're all putting more time and energy into running the business and making sure that the clients are happy, making sure the value is there, making sure the team is all good and we're all communicating and holding on tight. So any stylist that you allow inside your business is an extension of your brand. So really do your research and due diligence prior to bringing them into your business. And just because a stylist has a clientele doesn't mean that they're the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, I mean, how do you vet them? How do you go through that process? Because you think, oh my God, they have a clientele. They must be really good.
How do you personally?
How do I? I try to spend a lot of time with them. I try to like get to know them during that interviewing process.
I mean, you can't call their clients.
I mean, there's sometimes.
It's not like a reference you can check.
Where they've come in and we just like hit it off. Like I just felt good about them. Like this person's a great fit. Like I just know.
Yep.
And then there's some like in the past, not now, where I'd be like, I don't know about that one. Even though, but then my brain would go, but they have a clientele and they seem really good and their social media is pretty great.
Yeah.
And then I get them in and I'm like, oh no, what did I just do? So I feel like you really got to trust your gut when you first meet these people. Because, you know, your gut won't lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
Trust your intuition.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too, is you said kindness, but it's really like many things that you look for in a stylist. Because you can be kind, but then be a bad stylist.
Yes, yes.
So you got to be like kind. You got to have the skills. You got to look the part most of the time. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into being a successful stylist.
Yes. So if you were to walk into my salon today, I would look for a kind heart, first of all. Secondly, like your book of business, how long you've been in the business, your social media, all of that. Your like, you know, what your passion is and what your future goals are and what your personal goals are, because that tells a lot about a person.
Yeah. I think also like in the salon world, it says a lot about the person when like how much they're working and how busy their, you know, the social media is, and like, are they got one foot in this or they got one foot out, or like, are they fully committed to doing this, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So I get it. Like not all booth renters or stylists are going to have that passion like you, like the owners usually have. They're not going to have that drive, and that's okay. I tell that to people. You can go as fast as you want or as slow as you want. But as long as you're progressing each day, and when a stylist rents a chair, that's on them. That their success and stuff is on them. But as an owner, I still do require standards. Mm-hmm. Standard for them to show up for their clients. Standards of them to respect me and my salon, and to respect each other's clients, and they do good work.
Yeah.
And are they making their clients happy? Because if a booth renter comes in and they can't do hair and they're not making clients happy, there's nothing more faster that's going to ruin your brand than that.
Yeah.
You can build this most amazing, beautiful salon. You can put a gazillion dollars into it. But if you don't have good people in there and they're not doing good hair, it's going to ruin everything you've worked for.
Yeah.
Right? So this is about keeping your standards up. This is for the salon owners. Keep your standards up. Stylists, stop working for these toxic salon owners. I meet these stylists and they're like, oh my God, my boss is a nightmare. My boss did this or my boss said this to me. Why are you allowing yourself to be treated that way? Raise your standards. You're better than that.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many salons out there that would love to have you and appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Just please know that you are not stuck. If you're in a salon like that, just know that there is, as I always say, there's another float coming down the way, another float coming down the avenue, right?
Down the parade.
In the parade, down the parade, in the parade. So just know that. And salon owners, you don't have to be stuck with having toxic stylists in your salon. This is for employee-based salons and booth rental salons. Your hard work and pride of ownership, and I know the soul of stylists, of owners, is more than that. Because believe me, if you raise your standards and you keep them high, the good ones will come. I promise you that.
Yes, very true.
Right?
Yep.
We all know that, as I said earlier, running a business today, any kind of business, is very costly. So I would recommend protecting your brand and your team, and just know that the right stylists will come.
Yes.
And I just want to talk a little bit about what a booth rental salon is, because there's a lot of them. Most of the salons are run that way now. I did try an employee-based salon for about a year and a half, and I've realized during the course of it that I like dealing with business owners better. I'm a stylist behind the chair, and I love being behind the chair. And I felt like when you have an employee-based salon, you have to step away from the salon and focus more on the team. And that's not something I really wanted to do, because I love being with my clients. Mm-hmm. I love touching hair. I work 3 days a week. But I just wanted to talk about that. The two different salon models that are out there. Again, you have the employee-based salons where you're paid hourly and you're a W-2 employee. And then you have owners like myself. We lease a space and we rent our chairs out. And that is ultimately our business. And you rent out each chair to a stylist, and they are working underneath your umbrella. It's not their salon. They're running their chair. They're running their business mm-hmm. out of your business.
Yes.
So I just wanted to point that out, just the difference of business models. And then there's the studio suite owners that, and this is for you guys too. If you have a two chair studio suite and you're in there by yourself and you're looking for someone to share that space with you, you have standards on your business. Am I right? You do. So just make sure that they align with who you are and the future of your brand and your business.
Yeah. You just have to be patient, because they'll eventually come. If you can wait it out, then I think the right person will finally come.
Yes. And just know that. Just know if you keep your standards high.
Yes.
That and you create a good atmosphere for everyone. People can feel that. They can feel that getting their hair done. They can feel that through the stylist being happy. They can feel that through your social media content. People can feel that, and that will help you grow that much more. Because I know that if I were out there and I had a following and I just didn't want to open a salon, and I would really do my due diligence to find me a really good salon where I felt supported, guided, and a safe space for my clients.
Yeah. Because you don't want to keep jumping around. It makes you look bad as a stylist.
Yes.
It's like, oh, guess what? I'm over here now. Okay, well, now I got to go over there. Oh, I'm over here now. Mm-hmm. And the clients are like,
look good.
Yeah, the clients are like, I'm getting tired of bouncing all over the place.
Yep. And just,
so it's very important to pick the right salon. First time.
And you know, it's like you're selling yourself, the owners are selling their self. It's like a two-way street. So just make sure you do your research. And like my team currently, I really appreciate and adore my current team that I have. A few of them have worked at my last salon that I owned. And then when the owner of that salon closed down and I opened this salon, they came, one stayed with me and one kind of came later. But we all know one another. I mean, one stylist has been with me for over, I don't know, almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And we have a great relationship. You know, everybody has their ups and downs and nothing's ever perfect. But as long as you can communicate and keep that door open with your team members, that is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have something to say. Once you begin lowering your standards as a salon owner, you begin to lose your why. Why am I doing this? Why did I open a business? Why am I being treated this way? Why am I having a staff walkout? Why? Because every time anybody opens any kind of business, we all have these expectations and standards. And it just takes one person, maybe another person, to start kind of like ruining it all for everyone, kind of bringing the team down. So as long as you have your expectations and standards in place and know them, memorize them, and anytime incidents do come up, you can always go back to, remember when we had this conversation, or remember when during our interview I laid this out. And I know sometimes we have so many different personalities in the salon industry, and it takes a good leader to know how to squash issues as soon as they arise.
Sounds good.
That sounds good. And we'll see you guys next time on Truth or Hair Podcast. Yeah. I'm Tina.
I'm Martin. And we'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.